You're listening to the Marketing Spot Blogcast, the internet show about small business marketing with your host, Jay Arrett. Power to the small business.
And welcome to the show that's all about small business marketing. Hello, my name is Jay Arrett. Welcome to Power to the Small Business. I'm located in Waco, Texas, and I run a small business marketing firm called The Marketing Spot. We coach and consult small businesses about marketing. You can see our website at themarketingspot.com. I also author The Marketing Spot blog, which is at themarketingspot.blogspot.com. You can also find all of our podcasts at themarketingspot.podomatic.com. We're on iTunes. Search Power to the Small Business. We're also now on Zoom. Yay, hooray for us. Search for Power to the Small Business on Zoom, and there you will find us. But we always post every episode right here on the blog. That's also where you'll find the show notes, and that's themarketingspot.blogspot.com. We're back after a few weeks' hiatus, and for good reason. I have moved my office home, doing the Tim Ferriss 4-hour work week thing, just without the 4-hour part yet. But I'm not recording from home because I have to occasionally meet people, and especially females. I wanted a safe place for us to have some meetings. So I've got a desk, a small office at a former warehouse, now a photography studio in downtown Waco with a friend of mine. And so that's where I am recording this edition of Power to the Small Business, dealing with a new set of challenges, including a very loud air conditioner in the background. Well, today's show is all about communities. And a couple of weeks ago on my blog, I went off on Plaxo. You know, they used to be the organize your contact people, and they evidently now are an online community people. I won't go into full detail here and get my dander up, just like I did on the blog a couple of weeks ago. By the way, get your dander up. That's a saying we use here in Texas. So I'm allowed to say that on the podcast. So I thought, I just can't criticize Plaxo. I've got to show some real examples of real communities. How do you really do it? If Plaxo is going about it in the wrong way, at least in my opinion, how do you really do it? And that's what we're going to do on today's show. We're going to take some real life examples, some real life businesses that actually build the communities. The first is going to be Eric Brown of Urbane Apartments in Royal Oak, Michigan. Eric Brown is founder and one of the partners of Urbane Apartments. He's going to join us on the podcast today, and Eric's going to share with us how he builds community both online and offline in ways that don't involve friending people online. And I think that's the most aggravating thing to me about companies trying to build communities, and that's getting all these friend requests, especially when I don't even know you. I get a friend request. Well, Eric's going to show you how he builds his community with Urbane Apartments without the whole friend request thing. And then we're going to look local here in my own hometown of Waco, Texas. There's my favorite wine bar to go to. It's actually a wine bistro. She does serve food there. Gina Ford, who is the owner of the Grape Wine Bistro here in Waco, is going to join us because she builds her community almost totally offline. She doesn't even have a website, and yet she's got a little thriving, eclectic community there at The Grape. Let's hear firsthand from people who actually build communities on a local level. We're going to start it off with Eric, and to do that, we've got to go online and use Skype. All right, we have with us live on the Skype line, it's Eric Brown. He is founder and partner of Urbane Apartments. It's in Royal Oak, Michigan, which is just north of Detroit. And Eric, welcome to Power to the Small Business.
Thank you very much, Jay. I appreciate being here.
Betcha. Now, we're going to talk about communities today, and Eric is building an interesting community with Urbane Apartments up in Michigan. And as you know, if you've been reading the blog, we've kind of railed against online communities because it seems like everybody wants to do one. But we wanted to get a successful example of online communities, and we have that with Eric. First of all, Eric, just give us a little bit of background about Urbane Apartments and how you started building this community with Urbane Apartments.
Sure. We started about 5 years ago. And we basically take 1960s vintage apartments and we do a complete rehab on them. We've certainly attracted a much younger demographic. And with that, we noticed that, and I kind of stumbled onto this, to be honest with you. We started with MySpace about close to 3 years ago. And from there, we went from MySpace to Facebook to YouTube to Flickr. And we noticed the more we did of that, the more traffic we would generate. And we started out, obviously we're just a small company, but with the online communities, it frankly enabled us to compete with much larger companies. And the various things that we started to do to connect those dots have really been beneficial.
So you started off with MySpace, you then progressed, and give me the current status. What is all involved with your community right now? Is it all online?
It is, actually. We have, over the past year or so, essentially ceased to do, we've never done any print ads, but we did do a lot of paid-for online ads, whether it was apartments.com or rent.com, etc. And what we've been doing is we increased our exposure on these other various sites, such as Craigslist and the things we've already mentioned. We began to decrease our paid-for advertising. Interestingly, our traffic has increased each month or quarter as opposed to decrease, which is pretty fascinating to me.
So you've done a lot of online advertising, but as I look at your website here, Urbane Apartments, that's urbaneapts.com, I see you say on your own website, 8 cool communities in and around Royal Oak, Michigan. So you don't call yourselves apartments. First of all, you call yourselves little communities. How do you build that community within an apartment area?
First of all of our we don't have one single location. We've got, actually now we're up to 10 locations. The residents started connecting on, first, as I said, through MySpace. And as we began to listen to them and get their feedback and actually start communicating with them, it almost became like we were creating a urbane evangelist. And that, again, became pretty fascinating when you have your customer base out there selling for you. And I don't want to portray that it's all been a rosy road. We've certainly tripped over ourselves several times, but it seemed like when we did and when we reached out to that customer, they became that more thrilled with us. And it's sometimes those are really opportunities in disguise to talk to your customer.
So now you have this community of your tenants who live in your apartment communities. How is your community organized now? How do your current tenants start interacting with each other now?
Well, again, through the various things, whether it's MySpace or Facebook, we've also just recently launched in the past 6 months, we call it the Urbane Lobby. But it is a completely open forum right on our website where our residents can go on and they can make a complaint if they want, or they can talk to each other, and they can post pictures back and forth. And that has really began to connect, getting them to connect with each other. And one thing that we notice is we have, of our resident base, there's a lot of very talented folks. And I think that goes with any customer base. Such as we've got a guy who's a very good musician as an example. And he happened to be in our office one day, and I was just asking him questions about, what do you think of how we can further improve our online presence? And he said, I think we should connect these people in person, which is why we did our first Urbane Pub Crawl a week ago.
So you were combining elements both online and offline. And in fact, your pub crawl was quite a unique event. Why don't you go ahead and describe to our listeners what exactly is a pub crawl and how did you do it?
Basically reached out to some of our various partners in the community as far as different bars and venues and said, we'd like to set this pub crawl up. We have potentially upwards of 100 to 150 people that we think may attend. And we got them to, in fact, we negotiated deals with them to give either free appetizers or specials on drink tickets. And we began marketing this with our residents, both past residents and current residents. And we organized this thing, and 2 weeks ago we had it, and it was a huge success. We had right at 100 people. We went to 3 different venues. We actually had these kind of pit pass things set up where you wear this over their neck. Inside that, we actually had where they could pull out a card and write their name and email address or phone number if they wanted to exchange it with the various residents. It was just really, really a lot of fun, and I think they enjoyed it a lot.
Just kind of describe how the evening went when you did your pub crawl.
We started out at one venue, and by the way, we also looked inward to our community for both entertainment. Again, the fellow that happened, the musician played at one of the bars, and which we do that with a lot of our stuff. We also, a lot of our various marketing things we do, we use some of our existing residents, and we try to tap into our own talent base, if you will, which I think further enhances the community. And what we're really trying to do with, whether it's a pub crawl or anything we're doing, to enhance the resident's experience while living with their bay, be that the leasing experience, the moving experience, or the living experience while you're here.
Now, Eric, you said at one point you kind of tripped over yourselves and you learned this thing as you go. To the people out there, to the business owners out there thinking of forming communities, trying to get a community to get together centered around their business, give us some tips. What should you do? What should you avoid doing?
Well, I think that the thing, biggest thing that people have to get past is the fear. When I first announced a couple years ago, hey, we're gonna create a MySpace page, our internal employees just went crazy. Like, oh my gosh, you know, they're gonna blog bad things about us. Then I said, you know, they might. I said, but I can tell you what, if they do, that's going to be our number one priority the next day to fix. And so I just approached it that way, and we certainly have gotten negative blogs and bad posts and those kind of things, but again, when you reach out to those people and you say, you know, hi, I'm sorry that you had that experience, and I'm sorry, and it must have made you feel bad, or whatever the situation may be, they really drop their guard, and if you sincerely attempt to try to fix the problem, those are the very people who have become our most solid evangelists. And not only, you know, our folks are somewhat transient in that they're young, they're in and out of Detroit for job transfers, whatever, and so they don't necessarily stay long, but even after they leave, we've got some folks that left 2, 3, 4 years ago, they're still our biggest supporters, and that's just fascinating. And so the thing that, if I could add anything for folks attempting to do this, is just jump in with it. There are certainly many blogs out there and various sites, such as The Marketing Guy, who can help you out with those kind of things, but just drop the fear and do it anyway.
What is something that you should not do? Is there anything that you have learned a lesson on? You know, we really shouldn't have done that.
You can't hide behind this, and I think that the way we purchase things today is completely changing. I mean, as a for instance, we try to be as transparent as we can. My personal cell phone and email address are on various places throughout our website. And if someone wants to get a hold of me or anyone else in our company, there are direct lines that they could do that. And I believe a lot of times folks are afraid to do that, that they're going to get complaint calls and all kinds of things. And that happens sometimes, but not as much as you might think.
Now, one of the important things about your community, I think, Eric, is that it's not just you being the center of attention in the apartments. Your apartment is just a vehicle which ties all your residents together and brings them together as a community. In other words, you're not saying, hey, look at us, look at us. You're like saying, hey, let's bring all our tenants together. How are you going to continue this community feeling that you've got for Urbane Apartments?
Well, we've got several ideas on the board that we're working with. And one thing that I'm trying to break away from apartment commodity, and we're trying to do different things to break away from that. And the next thing that we're doing is we're creating a virtual leasing consultant. I think most of the time, at least in our business, that the salesperson, albeit they're very good, can sometimes just get in the way. And I see these kids, they text message all the time. They don't always want to talk directly to that. They just want to get in and get out with what they're doing. So we're trying to streamline that process for them.
All right. Well, that's one way to build a community. You've used some elements of online. You've also used the personal interaction to build your community. And Eric, we appreciate you being a part of the big show today.
Thank you very much, Jay.
That's Eric Brown. He's founder and partner of Urbane Apartments. Their website, where you can see that lobby that Eric talked about, it's urbaneapartments.com. That's urbaneapts.com. We've got the link in the show notes right here on the blog. Well, that's one way to do it. Let's check out another way to do it. Our next guest is waiting in the wings.
So now we welcome in studio our next guest, Gina Ford. She's owner of the Grape Wine Bistro in Waco, Texas. Gina has been a friend for several years. We've worked on several wine projects together. Proud to welcome her into the studio to be a guest on Power to the Small Business. Gina, welcome to the big show.
Hey, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
We're going to talk about communities today. We've had a guest on who does a lot of his community building online, and Gina is someone who does not do a lot of community building online, but she does it inside her establishment. She doesn't need the online venue to create her community. I guess, Gina, let's just first of all describe what you think your community is at the Grape, and just kind of describe the community atmosphere at the Grape.
Well, community, when you think of the word community, there's so many different types of people that would create a community. And so my place, The Grape, serves lots of different types of people. Everyone from, let's just say, for instance, girls' night out, a group of ladies coming. They feel comfortable coming in, enjoying a glass of wine with their friends. Others is more of maybe a college crowd, a dating scene kind of situation. Others, just a nice place to feel comfortable, to spend time and hang out and create new relationships and meet new people.
And if you're ever in Waco and you get a chance to go to the Grape, it is almost like the Cheers version of a wine bar, wine bistro, because you do offer food there. But you'll walk in. It's not a huge place. You get a kind of a narrow opening when you first come in, and everybody looks to see who's walking in the door because you got that bell on the door. And then everybody says hi to you and you move on. But you also do some things to encourage the community, too. You have what you call your wine room in the back. How do you think that helps your community?
It allows everyone from private groups to actual nonprofits, ladies' luncheons, bridge groups, bunco, and so a lot of different demographics are using my wine room. Business meetings, seminars, women's business groups, for example, they like to come and use the place, and it is a nice, comfortable atmosphere. And again, I don't charge a lot of fees or money because I'm encouraging different types of groups to come and use my facility and participate and enjoy what I provide.
Yeah, the wine room is almost like a meeting room, but it's not a meeting room because you've got wine all over the place back there, and people just go back there to have little meetings, little conversations. You also have something, though, you call the Foodie Club. Explain the Foodie Club.
Sure. This is a creation of Chef Terry, one of my staff members, has created, that has combined lots of different aspects of areas of culinary and cuisine and wine tasting that people have wanted. And they kind of have asked for this in a roundabout sort of way. There is a chance for community participation because there is a different category of food each month. And there are three items. The three items then are paired with three wines. And then the community part, I guess, built into this aspect is you get to vote on your favorite choices, and you have a little say in what's going to be on the menu next month. So it's kind of fun for everyone to criticize creatively and not too harshly for poor Chef Terry.
But they are also participants in your business too. I mean, they affect what you do with your business. I mean, do people come back in looking for your Foodie Club stuff?
Oh, absolutely. They actually look forward to it, and they'll be, is it this, still the current month? Has the new foodie item been presented yet? When are we going to see it? When's the next wine? I didn't like that. Oh, and then actually they'll say yes or no. Oh, I didn't vote on that one, but I guess I like it. And usually they choose it anyway, but it's kind of fun that they feel they have a vested interest, and they have a say, and that makes them feel important.
Now, you also have a patio outside. But you've made it pet friendly, right?
Yeah, and working with the Waco Humane Society. Waco Humane Society is very community driven. I tried to find some outreach avenues to get people to think about adopting pets. And then one way we do that is for you to go ahead and bring your current pet, and it's called Yappy Hour. And out on the patio, so if we have any little hiccups or dribbles or whatever happens when dogs get together, we have just a kind of a, like I said, community event. The owners can have a glass of wine, the dogs can have a drink out of their water bowl, and everyone has a doggy treat one way or the other, and it seems like it's a lot of fun.
Another thing you do, Gina, which draws up a lot of people into your business, I think, is you're very active in the community, the Waco community. You get involved in a lot of charitable organizations, including, like you just mentioned, the Humane Society. How big of a part do you think that plays in drawing business to the Grape?
I think it's a very big asset, and I always tell when advertisers or people that want to sell me either print or radio or other different types of media for my advertising dollars, I tell them, first and foremost, my most important and most valuable is donating to nonprofits and donating to charities. That is, in our certain community of Waco, it is the giving and the community and the nonprofits are very important, and a lot of people use that as a social avenue. So I'm a social place. Those are social activities. It is a good fit for me to, in a sense, donate a silent auction item or sponsor a hole at a golf tournament or just make sure that people realize that I do care about the community and I want to do something about it.
So in percentages-wise, you don't have to give me real numbers here, how much of your money that you devote towards marketing goes toward these charitable organizations and how much toward advertising?
The actual, I would say more than half of my donations I get, or you'd have to ask my accountant, I would say more than half. Again, it's kind of a funny intangible because it's in kind. It is just a donation and it might not always be reciprocated, but I have always found much better return on a donation to the zoo versus running a month of radio ads.
Now, Gina, you don't have a real big presence online. In fact, you don't even have a website, but you've been able to build this community. Why have you stayed away from online, and do you have any plans to get online and incorporate more online things in the future?
Yes, I don't have a lot of background and knowledge with computers and technical. So first and foremost, my lack of knowledge, I guess, is one of my drawbacks. So through actual even customers and other people that have encouraged me and given me the support to venture into those areas, also seeing other people respond, they're sitting at my wine bar having a glass of wine. They're like, oh, well, let's just look online and see where we want to go to dinner. Or, oh, I checked online to see if that new restaurant was open. And so listening to customer feedback as well has also encouraged me. Also, the software is easier. Avenues such as Google, MySpace, different blog areas have made it less intimidating for me, and I certainly intend on pursuing those avenues.
But at the same time, you haven't really needed it thus far. I mean, you've done fine without being online. Is it more of a thing you just, well, gosh, I gotta get online, don't I?
Not necessarily, because I do see from out of town, also with my own experience, I only do a little bit of outside marketing. It's a print ad. It's called The Travel Host. It is very narrow because it's just in that hotel room, so the contact. But me personally, when I go out of town, I absolutely go online and start looking for wine bars and looking for places and getting the MapQuest directions and things like that. So I know I'm looking for it, and someone of my demographic is going to be looking for me too.
Well, it's actually hard to describe your community at the Grape in real terms, just sitting here, me and you talking about it in a room without being at the Grape, but kind of sum up the community that you think you've built or that has been built around the Grape here in Waco.
The first words that always come to mind is welcoming and comfortable. We are not a creepy cave-like wine bar with dark, dim, intimidating. Well, our wine list is not intimidating. The actual scheme and design of it is mostly glass, so it's open, welcoming, and friendly. And I think also just the fact that we're not all in stuffy, overstarched white shirts. We aren't trying to overly wine snob it. Like I said, there's many levels to what I would say would be the community, because like I said, welcoming and comfortable are the two areas that I strive for the most.
So if you want to give advice here to small business owners maybe listening to this podcast about how to start building your community and just getting your customers more involved with the business, what are a couple of tips you would give them?
Have a passion for people, and that's sometimes kind of an intangible and hard, but when they come in and you aren't having a great day and you don't really want to talk to this customer and listen to their problems or their woes, sometimes you just have to bite the bullet and still give them the best experience you can and make them feel at home, make them feel comfortable. And then, you know, that good word of mouth, that good feeling and feedback will be rewarded.
Okay, that's Gina Ford of The Grape Wine Bistro in Waco. We're talking about communities. Now, Gina, you do have one online presence, and that's a MySpace page, right? What's your MySpace page?
The Grape Waco at MySpace.com.
Okay, well, just search for The Grape Waco on MySpace if you're a MySpace member, and get on there and check out more about Gina and The Grape. So, Gina, I refer to The Grape as kind of like the Cheers of wine bars in Waco. So if you're the Cheers of wine bars, what character am I in Cheers? Am I...
Not necessarily Norm, but no.
I'm not Cliff Clavin. You know, the spotted owl was the first prehistoric animal to drink wine, but...
Yeah, I wouldn't know. You're somewhere right in the mix of not the scariest of my customers, and yeah, nice, easily friendly. You're not one of the creepy crawlies that we have to ask you to leave or put you on a limit. So,
okay, it is a lot of fun to go to The Grape. If you do go through Central Texas on I-35, hey, pull off in Waco, find The Grape Wine Bistro, and you'll have a lot of fun. Hey, Gina, and I've had a lot of fun with you on the show. Thanks for being here.
Hey, I appreciate it. Very cool.
That's Gina Ford. She's owner of The Grape Wine Bistro in Waco. And there you have two examples of real communities, both Gina and Eric building real communities around their business, but they're not doing it artificially. And as you can see, both Eric and Gina, while they have their own way of building their community, it's unique to their business, they don't get too complicated about it. In businesses, they try to make their communities too complicated. They use them as referral tools rather than as enhancements to the customer experience. And that's what communities are about. They're not a sales technique. They are a customer experience enhancement. So I would ask you, if you're going to try and form a community around your business or implement community-type activities in your business, why are you doing it? Are you doing it for selfish reasons, or are you really doing it for the community? Now, I railed against Plaxo on my blog for trying to be a community. Plaxo's sole purpose, in my opinion, was to recruit more people into the Plaxo fold. That's a virus. That's not a community. Plaxo was trying to infect me. That's my opinion, and if there's someone from Plaxo listening and you want to retort, hey, please contact me. I'll get your side of the story. But do you see the difference between what Eric from Urbane Apartments and Gina from The Grape did? Compared to what Plaxo and a million other online communities are trying to do, Eric and Gina are doing things for their community members with no sneaky friending tactics. I think that's also one of the secrets of Twitter's success. Twitter is the microblogging site with the love-hate relationship with its members because it's down so frequently, but as soon as it's back, all the tweeters come running back. But with Twitter, you don't friend anyone. I can follow someone if I want. They don't have to follow me. Someone can follow my tweets. I don't have to follow them if I don't want to. I am a voluntary member of my Twitter group, my Twitter community. So if you're going to try community activities with your business, don't be sneaky. Don't get people to try to friend others begrudgingly into your community. Let them come naturally. They'll be happier. They'll be more likely to become an evangelist for your business. And that's really the benefit of a community. It's not what you set out to do. You set out to please your community members, to enhance their experience with your business. And in the end, you get an evangelist, if you do it right. So what do you think? Let me know. You can comment on the blog, themarketingspot.blogspot.com, or you can send me an audio comment. If you are technically inclined, you can send me an MP3 file, please, to my email address, which is Jay, that's J-A-Y, at themarketingspot.com. Also, if you want to send me a message via Skype or Uvu, go ahead and do that. It's The Marketing Spot, or my name, Jay Arrett, and I won't try and spell it here. Just look it up on my blog if you need to. But I'd like to hear your audio comment or your comment on the blog. Do you have an example of another community that you'd like to bring to our attention? Do you disagree? Let me hear what you have to say. But that wraps it up for this edition of Power to the Small Business. It's the big show all about small business marketing. It won't take as long to get our next episode up. We've already got the guest lined up, and our next show will be about advertising, more specifically, taglines, slogans, how to do them. But we appreciate you listening to this extended version of the Internet Show that's all about small business marketing. Power to the Small Business.
You've been listening to the Marketing Spot Blogcast with Jay Arrett, the internet show about small business marketing. Please add your comment or post your question in the comment area below. You can email Jay with comments and suggestions to jay@themarketingspot.com. For more information about our company, see our website, themarketingspot.com. Power to the small business.